to rest on God and His strength. Amen? So as we sing praises to the Lord, let's worship together. Father God, thank you for loving us. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us. We love you. We give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Helping us with worship today, and Jesse Morgan is one of them. And y'all say hi to Jesse. This is her first time to sing with us, and she's doing a great job. And Caroline learned that she didn't know Jesse was coming, and so she said, my mama's going to have to sing by herself. Can I help her? So Caroline's going to come help us with the next song, okay? And we're going to sing Jesus Messiah. Y'all worship with us.
Who knew no sin? He sees, he sees the thought. God, we worship you, and we're so glad that
we're here. We're glad that we have a maker, but even more, we're glad that you loved your creation enough that you sent your Savior, you sent your Son to die for us, save us from our sins, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to have a time, a special time of recognition for our graduates. So right now, I'm going to ask if Jack and Debbie would make their way up front, and they're going to lead us in it.
Morning, everybody. So we'll... Oh, yeah. If you have a graduate, you know, you can sit up here and get pictures of them. Yeah, so that way you can get in the way of everybody so they can't see. Can I get Jordan Byford, Pierre Mormon, Jesse Morgan, Dejanic Towns, Junior Collins up here? Up here, please. Jordan Byford, did she graduate with honors?
Yay!
High honors. Not just honors, but high honors. She's got a full scholarship to Mississippi College, a music band. What are you going to be playing? Bass clarinet, okay. And so she's got a full scholarship, pretty much a full scholarship. So all she has to do is make money to eat. And ramen noodles goes real well. But we got a Bible for her with her name on it. And we're just happy to have you in our class and hopefully you continue to go on and find groups to hang out with that are Christian-related and as cool as us, and just continue on your walk with God, and we enjoyed having you in class, even though that you were not always there. Work, you know? All right, Jesse. She also has a full scholarship, as you saw. She was singing really nice up there. Yeah. She's going to go to Holmes Community College in Goodman. So that's a little bit further off. And you'll be traveling back for during the weekends, because I hear they don't have dormitories during the weekends, which is kind of crazy. But a lot of driving. So, she's been through the whole time I've had you in class and stuff, and she's been real good, and I appreciated having her there, and she didn't get too wild or anything like that. But she never sang the national anthem for the hockey games, which was... I wanted her to sing the national anthem for the hockey games. Well, maybe we'll get you later on. Right? Huh? Maybe. All right, and we got a Bible for you, and we appreciate having you in our class, and hopefully God blesses you with more stuff as you go on. Pierre is going to Northwest Community College. Northeast. Sorry, there is a Northwest, but he's going to Northeast in Boonville as a music scholarship playing the tuba?
Tuba!
And trombone. Okay, so he's doing two things. He's blowing on the horns. And it's a full scholarship, so you're good. All you have to do is make money for food, right? Or do you even have to do that? Nope. Well, he's good. Then he's going to eat. And then we got a Bible for you. And it's been a pleasure having you in class. He's always there for food pantry. He's always there. Of course, he lives right across the street, but he's there. He's always helping people out, and I'm always appreciative of having him in class. And it's been a pleasure. And I hope you do great things, and hopefully you don't forget about us. Dejanic Towns. Dejanic. There you go. She's going to Holmes Community College in Grenada. What are you going to go for? Physical therapy. So if you guys ever break a leg or something, you need stretching and stuff, she'll get you. And we got a Bible for you, and she's been a great, great person in class, and always
interesting.
Yes, fun to have in class. We're proud of you. Junior Collins is going to Northwest. He's the Northwest. He's Northeast. He's Northwest. So they're going to be competing against each other. He's going for accounting. He's going to crunch numbers. So if you ever need your taxes done later on, go to him. And we got a Bible for you, and we appreciate you having in class. And And we hope good things for you, and that God blesses you with a lot of things in life, and that you exceed in that accounting. And then we have two people that definitely weren't here that were in my class. It was Crystal Knox, and both of those people have graduated, and they're just hopefully they go on and do great things. And Bo actually just really pressed to get his stuff done a year early. Oh, Destiny. Yeah, and Destiny also. And then I was also told Chris Michael, Pat Holmes' daughter, she graduated also from nurses med school. So if you have a illness, go to her because she's cheap right now because she doesn't have all that knowledge of, hey, we got to charge them more. But here's our graduating class for this year. And we're all proud of you. And hopefully you guys don't forget about us and that you do great things in the future. And John, you want to pray for him?
Hey, and we are proud of them. And look, just remember, you know, they've done great so far, but we all know something they don't know yet. This is the beginning. And so they need, you know, they think they finished something. They've just begun something. And all the more they need our prayer, our encouragement, and all those things. And what an awesome group of young people. Very proud to have them at Christ Community Church. Let me pray. Here, y'all, huddle up. Just huddle. Huddle. Huddle better. They're in band, not in football. All of them, so we can. All right. Good job. Anyway, good job. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for these young folks. They don't think they're young. When I was their age, I didn't think I was young. I thought I knew everything. And so, Father, I pray for them right now that they would be just full of joy, that they would follow your Spirit, they'd be strong in your Word. Father, that they would pursue you and how you created them and how you designed them just to the uttermost. Father, that they would find life in Christ to be so rich and so rewarding. And Lord, we do love you and we give you all the praise and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, now y'all can be seated. And Jack said, the last person Jack mentioned was Chris Mitchell, and that's Pam Holman's daughter, and she graduated from med school, and she's doing her residency in Tupelo. I think I got all that right. All right. We're going to be in the Gospel of John in chapters 14, 15, and 16. Doc, I'm going to preach all of it. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. You can laugh. It's all right. We've started talking about truth. We preached on grace for the first half of the year, and we've shifted over to preaching on truth. And what we saw was these things are not contrary to one another. Truth is not hard and mean, and grace is soft and frilly. They work together. They're found together in God. They're found in Christ. And so we're going to continue that on. And to me, there's a special burden in preaching truth. Because in the Scripture is a revelation of eternal truth. Things that are true, that have been true, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. They remain true now. And likewise, there's contrary information. There's lies that have been given all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And they continue to lie on these same things now. Part of the responsibility and part of the privilege of being in the people of God is to stand on truth. Not on whims, trends, passions, desires, polls. Whether what's favorable and what's unfavorable. The awesome thing about being the people of God is to stand in truth and to know the truth. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's something freeing about the truth. I'm going to unplug this thing, and I'll be silent just for a minute, but I'll come right back. I'm going to see if I can remove that.
Okay. I think maybe we got it. Maybe. Okay, we're good. So, I just want to further us down the road about truth, about where it's from, the source of truth, especially the eternal truths that Jesus came to teach. And what's the purpose of that truth? One of the things that we see, you know, as we had these young folks gathered up here, is that so often when our 19, 18, 19, 20-year-olds up to 25, they go to school, they go off, and so often they leave church, they leave the foundations that they were taught, and they're confronted with all kinds of theories, all kinds of different things. There's no way to avoid that. You know, this world, just like it contains the truth that God has, it also contains the theories and some false philosophies, some different things in this world. There's no way to shelter young folks from experiencing this. But what we can do is we can continue to preach the truth, to stand in the truth, and to say, hey, this is where we come from. Now, you know, the young people who leave the church, and I don't want to be ugly about this, but they usually come back. They come back after they have some youngins, and they go, what in the world am I supposed to do with these things? And they're like, I know. Let's take them to church. That's often when the young folks who leave the church when they go to college, they come back when they hit the wall. The wall of a youngin looking at you, asking questions. Who is God? Why am I here? What's going on? Is God real? Are these things true? Is God like Santa Claus? Is he a good story that we made up when we were kids? Or is he actually the creator of the universe and of every good and perfect thing? Is the Bible true in what it states? When I feel something deeply in my soul, is that where truth comes from? Am I the source of truth myself? And if I feel it deeply enough, it must be true? Or is the truth based somewhere outside of me? Does it come from a different family? Does it come from the human race or the human family at all? Or is it something we receive altogether from outside? These are the kind of questions that usually drive people back to saying, let me at least go to the church. Let me read the Bible again. Let me look at it. Let me read past the Sunday school stories. Let me read deeper than simply those things that are familiar to me. And let me see what the Word of God really says. And I just want to encourage you, pray for these young folks. We want to pray for all of us. Anybody who has a television, has a computer, has a phone, there's information coming in all the time on the radio, over the newspapers. Does anybody read newspapers anymore? Newspapers and magazines, there's stuff coming in that says this is right and this is wrong. And the radicalness between those who believe one way and those who believe another is becoming so distinct. Those who say this is right are those who say there is no right. There is no wrong. It's just how you feel. It's just what you think. It's just a matter of what culture you come from. Those who come from China may see it different than those who grew up on the continent of Africa compared to those who grew up in Canada. And they all see it differently than we see it. So who can judge what's true and what's not true? It's just different for everyone. These are the things we got to face. And y'all listen. Nobody outside of Christ is obligated to know the truth or responsible to stand in the truth or to operate in the truth. But what about those of us who are in Christ? What about those of us who believe the Word and who believe God? Aren't we supposed to stand in the truth? What if it's not popular? What if it's not often preached? What if it makes you look like an idiot? Well, I have some natural experience at looking like an idiot. Come on now, Keith, that wasn't supposed to be that funny. Thanks to my dad. I'm just kidding. It's heredity. You know, it's genetic. You know, it may make us strange. You know, the gospel itself has some strangeness to it. We believe that the Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God, was born of a virgin. That he lived a perfect, sinless life. That he performed miracles of healing, miracles of feeding, miracles of knowing what other people were thinking, miracles of setting people free from demonic possession, miracles of forgiving sin. One of the most radical things Jesus did while he was in his ministry, he saw a man who was paralyzed lying before him. And he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And all the religious leaders in there had a stroke, man. They had a conniption fit. They just freaked out. "Who is this guy blaspheming like this? Don't he know only God can forgive sins?" And what did Jesus tell him? He said, "I wanted you to know that I have the authority here on earth to forgive sins." That's who he is. Then he died on the cross. An innocent man, a sinless man, the only sinless human being in the world. He died for your sins and my sins to take them upon himself. And then he did what nobody else could do. The third day, he stopped being dead. If you don't think that's tough, try it out. Oh, well, wait a minute. Don't really try it out. You'll have an opportunity. It'll come natural enough. But he died. And 3 days later, he wasn't dead anymore. And I know in our time of technology, we think, well, maybe he was sleeping. I don't know what we think, but the Gospels tell us that no, he really died, and yes, he really rose from the dead. We have some medical personnel in here, and I know that might be for us. Is that really true? Did those things really happen? And I just want to tell you, the Gospel, it's true. You say, "Well, John, how can you tell me that?" Well, I'm going to give you just, in this series, we're going to be talking about some of the resources we have to help us to discern the truth. And what we're going to talk about today is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus refers to as the Spirit of Truth 3 times in John 14, 15, and 16. And we're going to consider those. Okay? So let me read the first one and then we'll get into our bulletin. Everyone will have a handout in your handout. You'll have a handout in your bulletin. Thank you. I knew there was something wrong about how I was saying that. But this will give you the idea of where we're going in this sermon. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, it says this: "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And I'm going to read the next verse. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Father God, as we consider your word, as we consider the matter of truth, especially eternal truth, things that are true forever, things regarding everlasting life, things pertaining to God, things pertaining to the souls of men and women, things that pertain to how we relate to you, the Almighty. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to be grounded and rooted in those, in that truth that you reveal to us? Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In this series, I'm going to be dealing with 2 things with truth: where it comes from and what it's for. We're the source and its purpose. The source and the purpose of truth. I said it last week and I'm going to say it again and I'm going to say it next week. Truth comes from God. Okay, when God gave us Christ, the truth came through him. But when we see this truth is expanded, I see a whole family of truth. When Jesus was preaching, they accused him of being a false witness. And Jesus said this about Father God: "He who sent me is true." See, God himself is true. Jesus Christ said of himself that he is true. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Now, he's making a personal claim to say that he is truth. especially these eternal truths that we talk about: sin, redemption, forgiveness, heaven and hell, and these things that have eternal consequence. I know we don't like to talk about eternity. Matter of fact, we almost do everything we can to push it out of our mind in order that we might live for our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our likes, our passions. But can I tell you something? Jesus Christ, who you'll have to deal with in your life sometime. You either got to say that he was a lunatic, he was just off. You're going to have to say he was a liar, that he didn't say the things he said were not true. Or you're going to have to say he's Lord, because he is the truth teller. You're going to have to deal with Jesus somewhere in your life. Jesus told us there is a heaven. Jesus told us there is a hell. He's the one who laid those things out and said there is eternal significance to our relationship with God. We try to push that away. We try to push God totally out of our lives. And the idea of eternity in our culture, we've tried to totally rip it out. You want to be weird? Live a life as if heaven is better than earth, and you will look weird in this world. Because you won't be grabbing and trying to gain it, everything about you and about you. And if you want to be weird, don't be all about you. Live for God. Live a life that's God-honoring and eternally focused, and you'll look weird in this world. But see, Jesus told us these things. He said, hey, I'm a truth teller. And this is what I love about the family of truth. See, we can't force everybody to agree. We don't want to force anybody to agree. But I will say this, there's going to come a time when there is a confrontation between you and God. Everybody on this earth is going to have to face their maker. Everybody on earth is going to have to give an account. Now you might say, I don't want to believe that, but it doesn't matter what you want to believe. If it's true, it's true. See, that's the definition of truth. It's there. It's real. It's substantial. It's settled. It's established. You can stomp around on the truth because it's going to remain. I'm hoping that I'm not on the trap door right now. You can stomp on the truth and where'd it go? The truth is more substantial than this stage. And y'all, we actually do know that. The things of this world are temporary. They vanish. I come from a city that's vanishing more and more as we speak. Detroit, Michigan has almost as many ruins in it as it does occupied buildings. And acre by acre is being taken back over by wilderness. There's one building where they used to make a Packard automobile. Not a Hewlett-Packard car. I mean a computer, but a Packard automobile. The plant where they used to make those was 1 million square foot. Is that big, Doc? 1 million square feet? Under roof. 1 million square foot. You're sitting in a building that's 12,000 square foot. It's 1 million square foot under building. It's one of the largest ruins in the world. It's a haven now. It's deteriorated. At the time when it was built and pumping out cars, that thing had to look like it would last forever. Detroit had so much muscle and motor power coming out of it, it had to look like it would last forever. And it's bankrupt now. And most of its powerful places are gone. We've put them somewhere else. Now, what does that mean? That the Chinese who are doing this, that's going to last forever? It'll be gone there too, brother. It's going to be gone somewhere. This stage, this building, it'll all be gone. It wasn't here forever. It won't be here forever. But God is forever. The things of eternal value, the truth of eternal value remains forever. When Jesus spoke way back when, and he was teaching people about God, those things he taught almost 2,000 years ago are true, as true today as they ever were then. Truth comes from the family of truth. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he spoke in connection with himself and the truth and the Father. I will pray to the Father that he sends you another helper, another advocate, someone else who will walk alongside you and teach you the truth and share this message. And then he called the name of that one who's coming. He said, the Spirit of Truth. the one who will lead you in those things that are right, that those things are good, those things that are eternal, those things that last forever. It's the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it has this short phrase, and I love it. It says, the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. It's not talking about your human spirit. It's not talking about human passions. In this room, each of us have an individual feeling and passion for things. It's okay to admit that in church. For too long, we've tried to make church out to be a uniformity. Everybody has to feel the same. Everybody has to like the same. Everybody has to look the same. Isn't that silly? Don't you feel like it's a poser game when you go into a church and everybody looks the same? There's just one kind of people, one kind of thing, one kind of dress code, one kind of all this stuff. And then you get out and everybody talks the same and everybody smiles the same. It's like Stedford Church, you know. Everybody's just marching in their order. Woo! That's not what it's about. We don't have to have uniformity of person. But we can have unity together as one underneath the truth. And the truth doesn't come from your feelings or my feelings. They come from the family of truth. It comes from God. It comes from God. That's the source. Truth comes from God. Let's just say that on three. I like it. One, two, three. Truth comes from God. Do you know how old-fashioned that sounds? Can you imagine me going on one of the morning talk shows? One, why would they want to talk to me? But anyway, it's an imaginary thing, right? Use your imagination. Just pretend time right now. So they say, hey, this is John Goldwater. He's a pastor in Grenada, Mississippi, and we just want to talk to him about truth. John, what do you think? Truth comes from God. They'll be like, what? Are we even sure there is a God? Are we even sure blah, 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 blah? They'd go through all this. They'd probably be hitting the buzzer on me. Bzzz, bzzz, sensor. Truth comes from... censored me out. You can't say that. It's television, man. You know how many people you just offended? You just offended 7 atheists that are out here in this country. You know what I'm saying? You just did something wild. All 7 of them are mad at you right now. And they're going to write letters to us. All 7 of them emailing the bejeebies out of us. You know, because you said God, and you said Him in a way that was exclusive, that He is the source of truth. Well, I want to tell you, I believe God is that way. He is the source of truth. Amen. I believe He created this whole world. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the stars, moon, sun. If you can go somewhere and find where there is no stars, where there is no moon, no earth, no planet, no sky, no water, no creatures, if you can find a place completely devoid of life, completely devoid of light, completely devoid of anything, you can't find such a place. But even if you could, God would still be God there. He would have had created that vacuum for some reason. You know, there is nowhere and nothing that you can touch, see, smell, or even the things you can't see. I love the fact that we're seeing more and more farther out into these galaxies, right? The places where the Star Trek ships are supposed to be. You know, we continue to look out there looking for the USS Enterprise. You know, where it's out there somewhere with alien species. You know how far out we've looked? There's still so much to see. And yet all of it teaches us this one thing. God created it all. It all exists. That life can exist perfectly here. It's a wonderful thing to explore and to go further. We go into our bodies and we look at how we were made. And it's a wonderful thing. You'll find the truth of who God is. And I'm going to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit of God who advocates on our side, who's telling us the truth. You are made with a purpose. You were created by a loving God who knows you, who wants to know you, and who wants you to know Him. These are the truths that God communicates to us of eternal significance. He is the source of truth. Now I want you to see the ministry, the purpose of the truth. In all that Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, He connects to Himself. We ought never forget that. Just like when Jesus walked around the earth and said, hey, I do what I see the Father doing, I say what I hear the Father saying. When he taught us about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, he connected the Holy Spirit to himself. And this is for these young, for any of us, but when I think about our young folks that we had gathered up here going to college, this is what I want to say. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings Jesus' truth, the truth of who he is, the eternal truths that he taught. He brings them into our lives, into our hearts. He makes them to bear account on us. So in every one of these points I'm going to make, it's the Spirit of truth continues. He continues to carry out the things that Jesus Christ himself did. Okay, this is the purpose. The purpose is to take the truth that Jesus revealed and take it across millennium. It's already crossed 2 millennia. You know, we think distance is far. What about time? Time is far. Each of us have a limited amount of time. So what does it mean about this truth that the Spirit of truth has brought to us, that's been handed down one to another, to another, to another? Who told you about Jesus? Who revealed his truth to you? Well, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's an awesome thing. So first thing, the Spirit of truth continues the presence of Jesus Christ. He will give you another helper, he says, one who will abide or remain with you forever. That's an awesome promise. It's an awesome thing. It means that this ministry of the truth, the purpose of the truth, will never stop. It'll never fail because the Spirit of truth will remain with you forever to share the truth of who Christ is with us, even his very presence. When I get a chance to talk to people who are in jail, they often feel very alone. You can probably imagine it's the same with those who have sickness, chronic sickness, maybe bedridden, or in a hospital, or in a nursing home, how lonely it can be. But I can tell you something. Part of the ministry of the Spirit of truth is to bring the living presence of Christ to be with you. Do you remember what they called Jesus when he was born? Matthew chapter 1. They called him Jesus, right? But they're quoting a prophecy. And they said, and his name shall be called Jesus. And then they called him another name also. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's an awesome thing. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is the truth. And the Spirit himself brings his presence to be with us. Child of God, even if you have to make a stand that makes you look ridiculous because you're standing on the truth, just know you're not standing on the truth alone. If no one else will stand with you, that just makes you more like Christ, more like the Apostle Paul. These guys faced trials without anyone standing with them, but they were not alone because Christ indeed was with them. And that's part of the ministry of the Spirit of truth. He continues the presence. He continues to be our advocate and our helper. He continues what Jesus did with the disciples. In John chapter 15, verse 26, listen to this verse. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. What's the purpose of the truth? Part of it is just to continue the testimony that Jesus Christ started. He continues it. He testifies of me. I love, you know, we all know John 3:16. You all know John 3:16? I'm looking at the three girls right in front. You all know? Haley, Serena, Kelly. You know John 3:16? If you know it, I won't put you on the spot again, ever. Okay, I promise. I'm sorry. I've called them out. Now they're horribly embarrassed. But this is the testimony of Jesus. He came to tell us about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you something? As simple as that is, God still has not entrusted that solely to his church or solely to individual Christians. It's something he carries on himself through the Holy Spirit, continuing to testify to us that God loves us, that Christ is the means of salvation, that faith is the way we connect with him, that there is an eternal life. That testimony about who God is continues through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But do you see how he's connected to Christ? The Spirit of truth will testify of me. There's this connection in the body of Christ. We sometimes allow ourselves to have favorites. Like my favorite, I might say, is Father God. Somebody might say, well, my favorite is Jesus, the Son of God. And some say my favorite is the Holy Spirit of God. As if somehow we can slice and dice God up and pick favorites. But God is God. And He's connected. And He's eternal. And He's true. And He testifies about the same thing. God, the Holy Spirit, is not going to tell you anything different, anything new and outrageous that Jesus Christ did not tell us. That the Word itself does not communicate to us. They're one. There's one God. Y'all, don't. No sense in letting perceived differences of the personalities of the Trinity divide the people of Christ. That's one reason why the lost world looks at us and says, you all aren't so sure on the truth you say you preach. Oh, maybe they have a point. Maybe that's why I need to be preaching this. Because we certainly don't need to bend or yield to things that aren't true. And we certainly don't need to be divided. Every Christian person I know loves Jesus Christ and bears the testimony of Jesus. And that testimony continues through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. These are not separate. And all of it is to the glory of Father God. These are not separate things. This is not separate ideas. They're not different idols that we worship. Boy, the more we can focus on the truth of who God is, maybe the more and more we'll see the body of Christ putting her wedding garments on as the time draws near. How beautiful an idea. That's part of the ministry of truth. The Spirit of truth. In John chapter 16, in verses 12 through 15, it says this: I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for I will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. For He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said, He will take of Mine and declare it to you. We continue to have a teacher. Y'all, you're going to have many teachers, many professors, many mentors, many role models in this world. It's true. There's people who we respect. Maybe we read their book. We learn things from them. We ought to constantly be learning. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I just get us, as the people of God, to land firmly on one thing here? We have no teacher like God as our teacher. There's none who compare to Him. You can learn valuable lessons and true things from a lot of different people, a lot of different places. But God, through the Holy Spirit, is our teacher, capital T. He is the one who guides us into places and helps us to understand the truth that no one else can. It was now 22 years ago when I was presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that when I was a kid, certainly people in my family tried to explain to me some of who Jesus was and what the gospel was, but I couldn't hear. Literally was deaf to it. Couldn't see it, couldn't sense it, nothing. I wasn't alive to it. When I was 19 years old, Gary Heim sat down with a tract in front of me in Lincoln Park, Michigan, and at probably 2 or 3 in the morning, he mumbled through this gospel presentation. And I want to tell you what the teacher, capital T, did for me. Not Gary Heim, but the Holy Spirit. He confirmed the truth of the gospel in me from the inside out. I am not someone who has been, through repetition from the outside, brainwashed into believing a certain thing. I did not grow up in the church saying, wow, this is the way. I was confronted with the gospel, and inside me, spiritually, I was led into the truth of what the gospel is. It is the power of God on the salvation. And it was the Holy Spirit who triggered that truth in me. Boom, boom. There is a God. You are a sinner. Christ died for you. Christ rose from the dead. Christ can be the Lord of your life and give you everlasting life in heaven. Those were the truths that the Spirit of God exploded into me. Not things I made up, not things that I wanted to believe, not things that made sense in my life. Becoming a Christian turned my life to a completely different track. Not one of my own choosing, but one for God's glory. And it was all through the ministry of the Spirit of truth. It's that eternal truth, the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, led me into. And that's why I'm here. Whether you like that or not, that I'm here, that's okay. That's why I'll be somewhere preaching the Word of God, glorifying Jesus Christ. It's because the ministry of the truth, Jesus is the truth, and the Spirit revealed Him, and it changed me forever. Not my passion, not my want to, but the truth of what the gospel is, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. And He will do that in your life, in anybody's life. You can be saved. That is true. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this time. Thank You for the opportunity. Thank You for those who have graduated, who have reached high and accomplished their goals. Maybe, Lord, we pray that they may be in a long line of those who accomplished great things through the truth that comes to us in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, I just pray right now, if there's any here who're struggling with this idea, they're stuck between what they feel so deeply in their heart, in their spirit, in their mind, in their passions. And then yet they hear and they sense what You're telling them. That Jesus is not a lunatic. He's not a liar. He was a truth teller. There is a heaven and a hell. There's a judge. There is a way of being saved, and that they are invited. If there's anyone here who needs to give their life to Christ today, or in any way say, it's time for me to walk in the truth of what I know about God, we ask that You'd move in their life, that they would glorify You even now. This is their time. This is Your time, Father. We love You, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have this song. If you need to respond to God in any way, now is your time.
Why?
Ushers would come forward, take up the morning offering, and as they're coming, I do want to remind you that we have an opportunity. My wife is staying back here. She's going to be, we have orders. The church is going to be doing lunch to go next Sunday. It's going to be spaghetti, green beans, some roll
brownie,
and water in a to-go box for $5, but you need to put your order in today. Okay, and it's going to be used in raising funds. But anyways, you know, that'll keep, it's easy supper. It's cheaper than going out to eat anywhere. And anyways, y'all consider that. And let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. I just pray as we take up the offering that you'd be glorified. Thank you for how you provide for us individually. Thank you how you provide for your church. And we love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look in your bulletin for announcements. Like Johnny said earlier, there's a lot going on. I don't know if it made it in there or not, but Wednesday, June 22nd, we're going to have representation from Ahava Ministries come and lead the service on Wednesday, June 22nd. They'll have films and stuff. They work in Guatemala. Mike Rozier and Shane Boyette, I don't know if y'all know them, and Bill Holland, these are friends of mine, but they work among some of the poorest of the poor in the Western Hemisphere. It's hard to believe that the people they work with live in the same kind of area that we, you know, that they're not far from us geographically, but oh my goodness, what they live in is wild. And what these folks do, this is a grassroots ministry that was started because somebody was in Guatemala and they saw what was going on and their heart was pulled and they said, we got to do something. In Jesus' name, we got to do something. And they're doing something. It's the kind of thing we want to get behind. I want you to hear their heart. So they're going to be here Wednesday, June 22nd. Okay? So remember that. Also, I think, Paul, you're playing baseball today, even though the rain. If you want to go play some mud ball, I mean baseball, at 2 o'clock behind walls and over there, Paul is trying to get, with several other folks, trying to get a softball league, church league, some kind of trying to get us out there, be active and have fun. I know for the most part, church people are against fun and activity, but you might want to make an exception sometimes and get out there, even if it's rainy. I don't think I can make it today, Paul, but I would like to, anyways, I like those kind of things. So if you can do that, get with Paul. And I think that's all. Make sure to order your meal. Look in your bulletin for the announcements. Remember to pray for those people, that those young folks we just saw who are graduating. They need our prayer. And let's pray as we go. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time, this place. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the truth of the gospel message that's brought personally to us by the Spirit of truth, whom you sent in your name. Lord, we love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready?